podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
NBA trade deadline has come and gone. It's 3 o'clock and the Hawks have made some moves. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as Mike and I have been analyzing what we think about the moves. And if you're going, Dukes and Bell, what's the moves? Jonathan Kuminga, Buddy Hield, coming over from Golden State, Mike, and they trade Luke Kennard. They're going to pick up Gabe Vincent in the process. So, you know, you get basically three new players. Porzingis is gone. If you're wondering, well, who they give up, Porzingis. And Mike had been saying this, and it's so funny because Steve Kuhn will join us tomorrow, as you even said it to the CEO of the Atlanta Hawks. Hey, are we going to trade Porzingis? And, of course, he was noncommittal.
Not at this point. No, I'm not saying it's an impossibility. You know, we always said, look, the thing with Porzingis, you had a chance. We were excited about seeing him with Trey. We never got to see him with Trey. And then you begin to realize, hey, let's get him off the books, because if he plays out this season and walks, you get nothing for him. So they were able to leverage an expiring contract, unless the Golden State Warriors feel we've just been sandbagging with him and he's got 30 games in his, you know, in his body, plus playoffs.
Right.
And we'll see. But even if he does, good for him. So what? I like what we've got. If we can convince Kuminga to play defense and be happy to be in Atlanta. Buddy Hield's a good three-point sniper, right? So you've added some shooting off the bench, made Kennard kind of a non-starter at this point.
Yeah, I had a guy hit me up. He goes, Dukes, man, Buddy's going to play that Lemon Lou role. Okay, look, he is a guy that's 33 years old, career three-point shooter, is better than what he's been shooting it this year. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, Luke Kennard's been shooting it better than he has all season long. And so, I mean, you look at this move and you go, okay, what's the deal? As I said, I think there are levels to this, Mike, where you talk about whether Buddy's going to stick and stay. He's only averaging about 8 points a game. You know, the Gabe Vincent deal allows them to get and acquire an $11 million trade exemption, which was going to expire.
See, that's good for us.
It's a solid move. Now, that's something that most fans, guys, we're not thinking about. Hawks, it shows you the front office is going, hey, we got something that's about to spiral over here. We could use this. We need to go ahead and make this move so we can execute this.
And we spent some time in the first hour of the show talking about Kuminga not being down with Atlanta, or just his group, his team being surprised, his agent, that he was traded to Atlanta. Day-Day and Oren brought up the point, our producers, that he's got a good relationship going back with Ansi Saleh when he was with the Golden State Warriors. So Ansi knows him. And hopefully can convince him that this is good for him. And then hopefully Quinn can communicate that defense is also an important part of playing here, because we need some of that. But as you said, not really a guy that's going to shoot. He slashes to the basket. He's athletic as hell.
Yeah, no, he's going to shoot.
But is he going to make those shots?
Those are his strengths. I want to see him slashing and cutting to the basket, Mike. What I don't want to see is
ISO Kuminga.
I don't want to see that. And that's part of what his problem has been out there with Golden State. Either way, I don't want to say, Mike, all that stuff carries over. We know guys go new places, and all of a sudden they get revitalized, and all of a sudden they, you know, maybe he looks like the guy that they gave a contract to just a couple of years ago when they were like, this young kid can be special. Because Golden State felt that way.
Only did a two-year deal, though, right?
Correct.
Right.
But that's normal, right? You do short deals to get in and out. Nobody, again, most of these NBA guys, they understand that.
What I read, he wasn't happy with the deals. That was a kind of a compromise. So as we said,
it was.
My buddy Ricky, who's a big NBA OG, he lives in Miami. He goes, if Kuminga comes with his head screwed on straight, you guys got to steal.
It's a big if. It's a big if. I look, I'm not going to debate his athleticism. Y'all going to love him on the break.
Right.
Like on the break, he's flushing on people. He's doing special things in the lane. But the problem, again, is what kind of player are you and what kind of player do you think you are? And that is the problem. Steve Kerr was telling him, this is the kind of player you are.
Right.
He was playing like he thought he was the player that he thinks he is.
And that's where it got sideways.
That's where
it led to the drama. Right.
All right, man. Your thoughts are welcome, guys. We can talk about it because it is good. Mike and I, look, despite that, we're just giving you the pros and cons. It's good that the Hawks are doing something.
Right. I just, and the big debate, I've been begging for a month and being shut down by Day-Day. You know, no, we can have one thing, but we can't have the other thing. And the one thing is, we just simply hold on to, you know, the pieces we have. We'll pair some salary, you know, and keep plenty of room, and then we'll go get those draft picks and use them and go draft the future of the squad. I said, cool, but can we still try to improve the team to get out of this miserable play-in rut and also show your Hawks fans, your diehards, that you're also trying to do a little something-something this year? Yeah. And I like that.
I do, too. I do too. Let me hear Shams Charania talking about this trade. This was him on ESPN when it all went down.
So after four plus seasons in the Bay, after being a lottery pick with the Warriors, they have traded away Jonathan Kuminga. His run in Golden State is over. And the Warriors, listen, they were simply ready to move on from him. They get a high upside big man. If Kristaps Porzingis can be on the floor, they're excited about him. They had targeted him for the last few months. And key note, they were actually teammates. Kristaps Porzingis and Al Horford back in Boston when the Celtics won a championship a couple of years ago. And Kuminga likewise has a lot of fans in that Hawks organization. They feel like there's a legitimate role for him under Quinn Snyder to really develop his game. He's still so young in his NBA career.
Look, and that's the positive outlook. The negative outlook is, again, that he is not committed to doing some of the things that he needs to get better at. Mm-hmm. And that's you got to put it on the coaching staff. And again, he's so young. I'm not willing to say his career is set. This is not a 33-year-old guy. He's a 23-year-old guy. And so you go, all right, Mike, there's a lot of growth there. But if he can ball the way potentially he could, and you're talking about a young Jalen and Dyson, right? And we've been talking about this. I don't know what the future looks like for Rishai Shea. And again, a guy asked me, he goes, is he a bust? No, I don't think Rishai Shea is a bust. Right. But you do need to be on the floor to get the experience right. You need.
But this gets back to, all of a sudden, it's like Mike Woodson. Like, the rookies can't get the love. I mean, here we are, Rishai Shea in his third year in the NBA.
Yep.
And again, at some point, we'll put a request into the Hawks to get Quinn Snyder on the show and ask him.
That would be great.
What do you need out of Rishai Shea that he's not giving you? Why are you seemingly, from the outside looking in, kind of limiting his minutes when it's crunch time, when he's one of the better defenders you've got? Right? I mean, that's part of it. And, you know, you and I debated earlier this morning. We talked about it on our pre-show. That's on Twitch and YouTube. And I was saying, you know, did we blow it by not getting Sarr? And you brought up the great point. Remember, at the time, Sarr had spent time in Atlanta. Didn't want to be here.
Didn't want to be here.
So that would have taken care of, check the big off the box. He's not going to set. He's 17-7, and now will rotate presumably with Anthony Davis starting next year when Anthony Davis is healthy.
Or maybe he's the four and Anthony Davis is the five.
That's a nice front court.
Yeah, maybe I think they're going to both be on the floor. I don't know if it comes off.
The Heat are the only team in the Eastern Conference that has not made a trade.
Which is a little surprising.
And a lot of folks thought they were going to try to come with a package for Giannis. The Bucks also said that, sorry guys, no sale, no deal. No tiki, no laundry. So you're not going to get Giannis here by the deadline. They'll have to negotiate in the offseason.
Yeah. I still don't think he's there for the long haul, Mike.
Nope. I think they're going to try to get a better deal. And it's crazy because, you know, guys are bellyaching that we couldn't get much more for Trey. Well, the Bucks are trying to get – obviously, they're trying to get the whole store for Giannis, and they have to.
Well, you mentioned the Zubac trade, and we're going to talk NFL coming up. Stay tuned. We'll get into the big game conversation, Super Bowl on the way.
And one guy's got former teammates ticked off.
Yeah, but I, you talk about what they gave up for Zubac. Two first-rounders?
That's rich.
It's rich. Like, that's part of when these deals start going down and you're like, okay, well, what are you guys looking at? And you start saying, I'm off two first-rounders, and everybody's like, ooh, they hang up mm-hmm. the phone. That's why this trade, the perceived value of what he was and what you could get for him was just not realistic. But then you look at Zubac, Mike, and, you know, you go, all right, is he a better player? No, it's about what they think is value, man. And, right. And you go, look, he's a big that can do a lot of different things for you. We're willing to do that, and I think it enhances them. I do. I think the Pacers, not this year, because, again, they're not going to compete for a championship, but I think as they continue to build with Halliburton coming back, that's a nice piece.
And we were talking about Walker Kessler. One of our listeners brought it up, and Danny Ainge, and a day-day found information, Oren, that the Jazz have no desire to move on from Walker. He's not even playing right now, but they're holding on to him as far as another big.
Unrestricted or restricted free agent? Restricted free agent next year? Okay. So.
All right. So. So we got Jock Lonsdale from down under, and so we got a body. We will try to presumably get, I presume, get our big and the point guard of the future in the draft. And now, as I said, man, never ever will I be more glued to that ping pong balls in the lottery selection show than this year.
Man, it's very possible, man. I think our odds are good. I think it's a realistic possibility for us to finally maybe get that number one overall pick where, Mike, you feel confident. No disrespect to Rishai Shea, but again, you said it. If that pick was Wimby, right, we'd feel completely different about it. We're going to get to the Tom Brady stuff here coming up. We'll get into a 4th-and-1. Day-Day and what's on his mind as well on the way, as we've been talking about all the NBA trades. And we're going to run them down for you, at least the big ones, because the deadline is done. So that means whatever the Hawks have done, They're done. There will be no more deals for anybody else. All right, let's get to fourth and one. So the GOAT says he doesn't have a dog in the fight. You believe him? Apparently his former teammates don't, Mike, because now he's being criticized by guys who played with Tom Brady saying, man, what are you doing? You telling me you're not rooting for the Patriots? Is Brady being very PC in this situation, or do you believe that he doesn't have a dog in this fight?
Well, I think he's trying to be diplomatic, you know. Maybe he's also trying to distance himself from the Patriots so he gets a first ballot Hall of Fame vote. I was a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Patriots. My MVP's no. Yeah, I mean, Deflategate, I nothing to do with it. So, that's called tongue-in-cheek or just being silly. But it is interesting because, you know, Tom, I mean, how could you be objective and say you're not pulling for the Patriots? You're a minority owner of the Raiders, for crying out loud. You can't even do the interviews during the week with your Fox gig because they precluded you because of your ownership involvement with the Raiders. So why not just say, of course, I'll always have a soft spot for the Patriots. But he didn't, and now some Patriot players are getting really angry about it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I get why Vince Wilfork, who, again, doesn't hold back, is like, no, man, I don't buy it. You do have a rooting interest. Speaking of the Patriots, Mike Vrabel did address the Patriots being the underdogs in this Super Bowl. Here's what he said.
Well, somebody has to. I don't think we dislike it. Again, that's not anything that's ever affected us, I don't think. I don't think we set out to necessarily worry about those types of things. I'm excited to be here and with this football team.
Okay.
All right, man.
Underdogs.
Yeah, man. Look, you're going to play that card. Everybody does it from high school on, right? They don't respect us. Okay, and it sounds silly, but it always seems to fuel the fire. We talked about Tom Brady, and you mentioned there's guys that are upset. One of the guys upset is one of the linebackers, Spillane, is upset. Robert Spillane talking on Media Day going, thought it was ridiculous, and I lost a lot of respect for Tom. So guys are getting upset. Teddy Bruschi, I can't agree with Tom on that because, you know, we talked about it. The Patriots' older players, it's like the mob. It's like Omerta, right? The vow of silence. You don't go against the family. And Tom, by not saying, well, yeah, of course I'm rooting for the Patriots, just seems kind of a bit silly. I don't have a dog in the fight in this one. May the best team win, Tom said on SiriusXM.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I just feel like, again, with all the things he's got going on, he doesn't want to feel like, you know, he's and by the way, if he did say, I'm all in for the Patriots to win, would anybody?
No.
Nobody would care.
Who would fault? So the next time, if we just call it a Seattle game and a national audience, somebody on Twitter can go, they're rooting against Seattle. Who cares? Spillane's actually, I found the quote. It personally makes me sick hearing Tom Brady doesn't have a dog in the fight.
Yeah. I mean, like, guys are, and because again, when you've won chips with these guys and you gave an organization your everything, you know, former Falcons, Mike, even though they didn't win Super Bowls, they're all in when the Falcons are right, relevant and doing well. And these guys all want to see the organization do well because it's a part of your history. It's a part of your legacy, man. All right, more on the big game. As I said, we'll talk about the Seahawks and the Patriots. One of the keys I think that will play a huge role in Sunday's matchup, and it might be something that you may not be thinking about. We'll get to that when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Little things change a Super Bowl. We've seen it time and time again. Want to remind you guys that NASCAR is back at Echo Park Speedway this month. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game has your tickets. Listen to the morning shift for your chance to win tickets to the most action-packed track in NASCAR. That's all week long on the morning shift, that is, with Echo Park Speedway and Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike and I had a chance to talk with Chase Briscoe earlier in the week, and we were talking about the track, Mike, and look, he's excited about the upcoming season.
And unfortunately, Bowman Gray, where they do it, it's an old school, it goes all the way back to the 40s track for NASCAR, and they've had a really good time doing these clash races at places like, you know, L.A. Coliseum. In this case, second time at Bowman Gray, the weather was not cooperating. Had to switch over to Fox Sports 2. Some guy you never heard of won the race. A lot of drivers unhappy. A lot of folks unhappy. Mm. So, it's... It's like, yeah, maybe you go and you do it at a dirt track somewhere in Florida. You know what I mean? You follow the sun. You know, just a thought.
Yeah, it's, look, I think the going back to some of the things that helped make the sport successful and right. we talked about it. I think that's all good.
Just, you know, you get, like, again, a couple of weeks, hopefully we'll get lucky with the weather. I know for the guys at Echo Park, even back to the old days when it was AMS, there'll be a lot of folks, they'll be like, I'll wait till that Saturday to buy their tickets, which, you know, obviously they want to know you're coming.
Right.
But you got to wait to see. Hopefully we'll catch a break with the weather, and it'll be great because nothing like it, man. It's coming right on the heels of Daytona. And as we all know, talking with Chase, it's a mini Talladega. I mean, the action, if you want to see some wrecks, that's basically how Chase Elliott won the last race because of all the wrecks. But anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. We are going to give you our Super Bowl official predictions tomorrow on the show. And by the way, our buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter from the AJC is going to join us coming up in about an hour. He is out there.
That's the real D. Led, not that fake one y'all roll with.
In San Francisco. He's out there covering the Super Bowl, covering the teams. We'll get his thoughts on the Falcons and much more. So stay tuned for that coming up in about an hour. Mike, one of the things in this Super Bowl that could play a huge role is Drake May's escapability.
Mm-hmm.
He scrambled for more yards than anybody this season. And I'm not telling you that he's going to run for three touchdowns because, again, he could, but his ability to get away from this pressure could move the chains a ton of downs for the Patriots in this Super Bowl because Seattle gets after it. Look, Drake May was sacked 47 times, okay? When you put that in context, there are only three guys that were sacked more in this league. The problem and the reason why I'm believing that Seattle is going to win this game is because of that. They get after it, and I think they have the best defense across the board. That goes for the Texans or the Broncos, who led the league in sacks, Mike. But Drake May's ability to run and escape and make yards could be the key to this game. And, again, I don't think the Patriots win, but if they do, we might be talking about this next Monday when we come back going, man, he escaped there, he escaped there, he ran for a touchdown in the red zone. Because he can.
Right. And then everybody always says, well, you got to put a spy on him. Well, that always sounds so great until, you know, now there's a receiver or running back that's not accounted for and the big play happens. The shoulder is the concern, though, because he did get the shoulder dinged up against the Broncos in Denver. And he says the shoulder feels great. That's why you have guys in the training room. He's talked about the trainers working with him, but a lot of folks are a little worried about the throwing shoulder. And will that have some effect coming up on Sunday? I don't know, man. Maybe not the year to take Uncle Mike's advice because I've been dreadful this year with my picks, but I just love Seattle in this game.
Yeah. And again, we'll give you some of the other keys and things that we're looking at. I just feel like that's something, whether you just feel like, hey, it's going to be a defensive struggle, and it could be, what could be one thing that jumps out at you? Look, the Patriots are well aware of Njigba, right? Like, he's had an amazing season. The hope is they're not going to allow him to beat them. But, Mike, the other side of that is if the shoulder is an issue and you're going, okay, Drake, show us, right? Right. I mean, you gotta put it out there, and we're going to put some pressure on you, and you got to show us that you can make these throws. Right.
Now, as far as, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba, it's basically, I looked it up, it's the same over-under as it was in the NFC Championship, which he blew by in the first half.
What was it?
6.5 catches.
Ooh.
So I'm jumping on. Matter of fact, Day-Day, I know we're going to do the picks tomorrow. I'd really like to lock it in today, lest it go up to 7. Why are you shaking your head at me? Knock the taste out your mouth.
Because according to the rules all that right. you guys yeah, have in place.
Gotta wait.
I know. Actually, it's a rule we invoked because you tried to pull this monkey business earlier in the year.
You did try to cheat early in the year.
It was not cheating. Right. I saw something.
Bending the rules, Belichick is cheating.
It's 6.5.
So are you saying I won't get into the radio? The Radio Hall of Fame.
Yeah, where's my Georgia podcast award?
Exactly.
They don't give awards for the stuff I do. Anyway, yeah, the over-under is 6.5. Money line on that is -137. So Vegas likes it. In other words, you got to drop 137 to break 100 on that.
I do too, though. I like that because, you know, look, and this is the brilliance of Clint Kubiak. It's why I think a lot of people are high on him and he's going to be the new Raiders coach. Mike, this is what we do. We're not going to go away. You think they're not going to throw the ball to Smith and Jigba?
Right.
I mean, like, they're going to, and I think you try to get him involved early, and then all of a sudden, you know, here comes that run game, and then, like, I like the flow of the way this offense is looked. Now, that's all, it still goes back to Sam Darnold. If he plays mistake-free football, Mike, they look unbeatable. When he does, sometimes his defense has to step in and save him, but guys, remember, they came down here and just wally-mopped us, Mike.
Right.
I mean, they put it on us. So
that's the thing. You know, the Rams came in here and just kind of foreshadowed some of their little wobble-wobble
yep.
that the Rams were dealing with. Puka Nacua obviously blew doors in the playoffs, 332 yards receiving. Jackson Smith and Jigba comes up in fourth place with 172, two touchdowns. So, tons of yards after the catch. That's what he does. So I just think he's the guy they're going to have to find a way to stop. Kayshawn Boutte. He's got, let's see here, one touchdown, 147. So the explosive play, if it's Diggs or Boutte, versus the explosive play that you're going to get from Jaxon Smith-Njigba, if you're looking for that.
Do you think, by the way, tonight's NFL honors, we've got Bijan Robinson up for Offensive Player of the Year. Xavier Watts, Defensive Rookie of the Year. James Pierce Jr. as well. And by the way, I think there's a real possibility that that award comes back home, all right, with one of those guys. And then A.J. Terrell, by the way, for those who don't know, is up for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. He's a nominee, which is always an honor. And certainly A.J. has done amazing things, not only just in the community, but the way he handles himself. And you know, teams, Mike, you get these nominees, and so that's an honor in itself. But we got some guys that could be recognized. I do not know, as good as Bijan was, Mike, if he's going to win the Offensive Player of the Year being a nominee, but damn, he's worthy. Like, for what he did, and the right. Sad part about this is, do they look at our record and then say, as much as Bijan did, you know, it wasn't enough? Or do you put that aside and go, man, this guy's a special talent. Look how – if he doesn't do the things he did, where would we be?
Right. Well, how does the media look at it? It's the most winnable division in football. It was the worst division in football. And we blew it. And it wasn't his fault. They fired the coach, right?
Yeah.
The OC got a new gig, but and the coach did get a DC gig with the 49ers. But still, do they look at that and say, this guy was balling out. Without him, you're right. You know, I mean, I thought they underutilized him. The 49ers kind of got after it, and Zach didn't have a counterpunch with some of the other things we should have been doing. There's so many games. I mean, Mike, I can think of five off the top of my head that you just – I hated that play call. I hated that delay of game penalty. I hate the fact you had to burn a timeout. Just dumb stuff.
Came back to bite you.
The basic – you know, you say block, basic blocking and tackling, but you get what I mean. No pun intended about football. The basic stuff that an offensive staff and a coaching staff shouldn't screw up, we did. And that's why it gets us back to that Penix Jr. conversation that, you know, hey, man, keep your chin up. There's a lot of stuff that was, you know, yeah, you made some mistakes. There's a rookie learning curve in your first full year as a starter to be expected. But there's also things they didn't help you with and that they put you in a spot that wasn't easy to be successful. By the way, one sidebar on Seattle and the 49ers, I should say practicing at the 49ers facility this weekend.
Yeah.
Do you buy into this problem with that power station, that substation grid, and it causing electromagnetic issues that contributes to injuries? Because the Seahawks nickel rookie corner, a nickelback, I should say, corner, Nick Emmanuel, was seen with a big-time limp. He rolled it in practice trying to cover somebody, and he was seen, like, pronounced limp getting back to the hotel, and immediately everyone's going, yeah. And it's like people are now worried, 49er fans, I was reading this last night, they're worried that somehow it's going to kill them in free agency because you know how these urban legends grow and we live in a world where nobody even knows what color the sky is anymore, that all of a sudden if I go to San Fran, I'm going to get zapped with electricity. It's going to jack me up.
He is, at least according to reports, ready to play, and they say he's going to play in the Super Bowl. But yeah, look, I do think there's something to this. Mike, at some point there'll be some kind of, you know, front line and a special report on the land surrounding the area where the right. where they practice. But I don't think you can dismiss it with all the injuries the 49ers have had to deal with.
No, again, guys, if you've not heard it, there's energy fields, the strange theory, which now they're talking, again, the media, you got 5 days and you're out of storylines.
Correct.
So they're rolling with that. But it is kind of interesting. There's tens of thousands of these kind of stations all around the country, and that ensures that energy keeps on rolling through the electrical grid. There's, you know, you might have one down by your neighborhood or down the street. Maybe it's, you know, behind some trees, you don't see it, Carl. But the injuries for the 49ers, it got folks, and again, unfounded theory that the substation next to the practice facility, and you've seen the aerial shots, they're breaking it down, has somehow led to their illness. And this other guy saying, well, actually, no, having that kind of energy should actually help people.
It should. You would feel that way.
You would think. So I don't know where you fall on the conspiracy theory, but where the practice facility is, literally right next to the electrical substation.
Yeah, it's a weird story, but I don't think, again, all those injuries, the 40, it seems like every year they're dealing with massive injuries.
Now, for what it's worth, the World Health Organization has found no evidence to date that exposure to low-frequency electromagnetic fields is harmful to you.
But you have to have the equipment to know that you're being exposed, right?
Well, they say, again, low-frequency electromagnetic fields released by microwaves and cell phones. Unlike ionizing radiation that's from a medical X-ray, this stuff is not known to damage any cells. So it's basically nonsense.
Okay.
It's just they're just having a bad year that are injured. Just like 2018. We had a bad year with injuries.
Yeah, we did.
You know?
But it hasn't been persistent.
No. Now, look, do you believe that the field turf at Mercedes-Benz contributed to all the Atlanta United players having injuries and blowing out Achilles like Brad?
Yeah.
They remember they brought in a third party that said there's no correlation? Okay, just bad luck then. But nobody wants to believe in bad luck in 2026. It's got to be a conspiracy.
Got to be. 404-726-0929. We will tell you the latest on the NBA trade deadline. Some big deals going through, including our Hawks making deals. But coming up next, what is on Day-Day's mind?
Hey, man, it is a Dukes and Bell. Day-Day's ready to rock and roll. Happy that the Hawks did some stuff. I mean, rare that I get to, you know, you listen to me bellyache and a bellyache on Dukes and Bell about things I want. And then Day-Day, like my dad, no, you can't have that. No. What about picking up some players to make a run for the playoffs? No. Or we'll see, which is like adult for no. And then we saw the Hawks go and make some moves. I was just real quick debating with a guy. Well, I mean, trying to set him straight. Because he's like, Porzingis is the greatest big man jump shooter in the history of the league. He was never going to resign here. He was never going to get a contract extension, guys. That was never coming. So, as we said, the only thing was the slim chance that he and Trey had lightning in a bottle, and all of a sudden maybe they reevaluate their strategy for the offseason. So, the idea, you get him off the books, and you get something for him. Because if he just plays out this season, whatever, and yes, we're probably in a better team if Porzingis could, and maybe he will be healthy down the stretch for Golden State. And maybe all this was simply sandbagging, and we'll see. But, again, you don't want to have what happened with Al Horford those years ago, where another GM thought it'd be a great idea to let Al just go, and you get nothing for him. So you get something in this case. We get Buddy Hield, and they'll decide. Look, they could also jettison these guys too. But in the case of Jonathan Kuminga, who has a relationship with Ansi Saleh from his time when he was an executive in the front office with Golden State, that you could maybe get the most out of him. As Carl pointed out, this guy's super athletic. Just telling him, you know, hey, man, you can't be like Joe Johnson on a team like Golden State when you got Steph Curry. So now we hope Kuminga gets on board and maybe plays a little bit of defense because that would be needed. So I was just telling this kid on Twitter, no, sorry, this young man on Twitter, they were never going to keep Porzingis, so let's roll with it.
No, he was not for the long haul, guys. He was not going to be here 5 years when this team potentially, 3 years from now, when you might be competing for a championship. And look, that might be hard for some Hawks fans or basketball fans to maybe even visualize that the Hawks may be that good in a few years, but this doesn't take long. If your general manager and your front office knows what they're doing, a couple of moves in the NBA, unlike the NFL, Mike, where you have to draft and strategically get good at certain spots, and it takes a little bit of time, and then hopefully you have enough free agent money to go fill the supplement, you know, supplement the draft. The NBA, man, three dudes.
Right.
Really. The three guys that are difference makers, and you feel the void, and all of a sudden, you can be a contender. More on that coming up. Day-Day, what is going on today, man? What's on your mind?
Well, I got a big number I want you guys to think about, and I'm going to tell you a couple of quick stories and then come back to you, all right? The number is 293.
293.
What is this, like Karnak the Great? 293.
Yes.
All right.
293.
Got it? All right.
Hold on. You're the John D. Carson.
Got it. Hold on.
I can't rip that. That's an important law. Remember, look at the envelope.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
I'm out of lemon pepper wings that Lou Williams ordered during COVID.
It's a great bit by Johnny.
All right. Here we go. Just remember that number. All right. Real quick. So it looks like there's a potential of the college football season starting in week zero, according to a report.
What do you mean, across the board? None of this, like, yeah, couple none of this. Games?
Yeah, okay. No. It says that it's gaining some traction, according to Georgia's athletic director. So, just wanted to get your thoughts.
Josh Brooks is saying this?
This is according to this report in the New York Times.
Okay,
yes.
Okay.
So, I am in favor of that. I'm in favor, honestly, because I feel like this. First of all, when you all this complaining about strength of schedule, all this stuff, I think in order for there to really kind of have some steps in the right direction, you need to get rid of some of these paycheck games. I know it doesn't benefit those schools that get those checks, but you got to have some type of stipulations where if you're a Power Four conference team, you have to have X amount of games. Like, limit the paycheck games to maybe, I don't know, one, because some of these schools are playing like three.
Well, it's called Indiana. Indiana's gets a damn joke.
But I like
Florida, sorry, I don't want to pick on Indiana. Florida Gators used to do this for years. Mm-hmm. Gators played absolute dog, you know, out of conference.
Right.
And they won championships. You know, so it worked. You can play the system. You can work it. But as a, like, for instance, I got FSU tickets, or I got a bunch of buddies got Georgia season tickets. Mm-hmm. I'm with Day Day. You're paying good money as a booster. You want to see good games.
Yeah. So, but I say all that to say, I think this is one thing that's in the right direction of getting rid of the week zero and starting the season there. And if that's going to be the case, make that your cakewalk, your paycheck game, and then boom, hit the ground running after that.
I agree. I also would hope, though, that that would also correlate with the end of the season.
Right.
Mike brought this up a couple of days ago. We don't need 3 weeks waiting to see the championship game. Two additional weeks. If you're going to start the season in week zero for everybody,
right,
let's push everything up.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get to the national championship game a lot earlier in January than waiting until January 25th, which is what I think the championship game date is for 2026, actually going into 27. It makes no sense. So, Day-Day, I have no issues with that. But I just don't think you change that and then keep the rest of the schedule as is.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make sure that the interest level, and this is what I'm debating, for college football, and the interest and the enthusiasm remains the same at the end of the season.
Right.
It wanes.
Right.
We go from these championship games, whether it's the SEC, to take your pick, then we get into the football, the playoff,
mm-hmm,
and then we get a break. And then we get another playoff, and then we get a break. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, well, the championship game is 2 weeks. That's ridiculous. So I want to see that change more than I do the week zero games.
I'm with you. I know that we've had a number of coaches agree with what Carl just said. There's no reason to milk this. There's no what are you going to do? You have the national championship the day after the Super Bowl now? It's getting ridiculous. Come on. And again, it's bad enough that we got to watch two teams that don't belong in this thing in the first place. You know, to watch James Madison, you know, and they scored points in garbage time when Oregon took the foot off the gas. And we got a rematch of a bad game. It was another bad game with Tulane and Ole Miss.
Yep. All right, real quick, before we get to that, 293. SEC has
293.
Yes. Has announced
293. Hold on, 293.
Stop.
Hold on. What is Turtle's cholesterol number?
Okay, that's good. That's good. I like that.
All right, SEC has announced it has distributed. You ready?
Yes.
Drum roll. $1.03 billion in revenue shares to its 16 universities for the 24-25 fiscal year.
Which amounts to?
$72.4 million.
Per school?
Yes.
How about them apples?
Life's good.
Indeed.
To quote Future, life is good.
Life is real good. and to Orin's point,
anyway,
you didn't even
Florida
have...
State fan, we could take a paycheck loan.
Well, obviously the ACC's not handing out those checks.
Right. No, not at all.
And to Orin's point, you didn't even have a team in the championship.
I know.
Right?
I know.
How about that?
Yeah, that's impressive. I think we've seen this number go over the last decade from like the late 30 million mark, mm-hmm, into the 40s, into the 50s. At 50 million a school, everybody was like wigging out. And now you're telling me they're distributing $70 million checks?
Mm-hmm. Now, bad news for you. Texas and Oklahoma didn't get a piece of that pie.
We don't need it.
Yeah, when you join the conference, they said slow your roll. You're going to have to get. They do the same thing to Central Florida in the Big 12.
Yeah,
and Cincinnati, you get like a junior partner share.
Well, remember,
you can't beat Georgia. Don't get paid.
They had to quiet Orange. They had to pay to get out of the Big 12.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it'll all even out in the wash. But yeah, and look, I think OU and Texas are very happy being in the SEC.
Yeah.
Eventually, that'll all play itself out. But, man, that's a
lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Happy they play Georgia.
It's a lot of money. Quiet over there.
All right, 293, gentlemen. Any guesses to what that number could represent?
293. How many vacation days Carl took in 2025?
That's good. That's good.
That was funny. You want to take a stab at it, Carl?
293. It is sports related, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
That is the number until we get back to the start of the NFL.
No. That is the number, according to a little research I did today, the last time an Atlanta-based professional team participated in the playoffs.
Oh.
293 days?
293 days.
Seems like forever.
To the Dream.
The Braves
against the Padres.
Well, oops, I forgot about the Dream. Sorry, I guess I couldn't.
Oh, Mr. Women's Basketball forgot about the Dream. Whoa. Oh.
Way to go, Oren. You ruined all my research.
My bad.
293, the amount of dirty looks Danny's going to give him his wife, a former female athlete, when he gets home.
All right, let me rephrase that. 293 days since the Braves, United, Hawks, or Falcons have participated.
Fair enough.
In a playoff game.
Oh, I'm sorry. If you know behind the scenes, Danny.
That's funny. That's funny.
The guy that watches more WNBA than anybody on the show.
He does. He's like, last night I was watching a WNBA game. We're like, Day-Day, is that going to change, though? Here's the deal.
It's real to me, damn it.
Is that number going to
depends on what the Dream do this year.
It is, right?
Yeah. It has to. I believe the Braves are going to
get back in the playoffs?
Yes.
Okay. Mm.
But the problem is we are going to literally, because the NBA playoffs don't begin until May, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So right. It's going to be 365 days.
Okay.
Especially if the Hawks don't make it.
Yep. By the way, you like this? We don't know what this is going to look like, but you feel like we got a better shot of being just in the 10th spot, 9th spot, 8th spot, 7th spot?
I do. And again, I said it on the pre-show. My biggest concern was the mindset of Kuminga as far as does he really want to come here?
Yeah.
You know, but if he's on board with being part of this team, I feel like we've got the depth now, because I feel like that was the issue earlier. We didn't have really the depth to really kind of get ourselves out. Because realistically, the Hawks want to get to 7-8, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because if you win that game, that 7-8, then boom, you're good to go.
The good news is, though, Chicago was a team you were fighting for in that 10th spot, and they're in fire sale mode right now, as Mike Bellick said. They've got rid of everybody.
Vucevic just went to Boston. We are 5 games behind the Raptors. 5 games back. Toronto, as you said, suddenly is rolling. But yeah, that's if we just catch a little fire, man.
Mm-hmm.
And because the East, that's one thing, I know Steve will say that tomorrow. We're very close. It's a muddled mess in the Eastern Conference. But yeah, and as you said, I mean, do you really believe the Sixers can maintain where they've been at? You know, we'll see. With Maxey kind of being the man. Celtics and Knicks are tied for second. And as you said, Cade Cunningham and the Pistons are number one. So yeah, I mean, if and you said it, if the Ansi Saleh connection, whatever it is, Carl, with Kuminga. Hey, man, we're really glad to have you here. Have you thought about Atlanta as a permanent home for yourself?
Well, here's the thing with the number, and this is what we need our franchises to understand. Imagine being in a relationship, and you and your significant other have not had personal time for quite some time.
Okay.
Eventually.
You're not describing a personal situation here.
No,
right?
not at all.
Do I get a trophy if I do?
Is that also what that number represents, Danny, the 293?
Not at all.
Yeah. Actually, when my wife and I have sex, we do have confetti rain that pops out of the ceiling. It's like winning a championship. It's very exciting.
But all jokes aside.
Yeah, personal. My God.
You see a lot of relationships sour.
I have a Craig Sager, a hologram that pops up. He interviews me.
That's a little much.
It's been a long time coming, Mike. It sure was, Craig.
Yeah.
But all jokes aside. You see a lot of relationships sour in that aspect. And I want our franchises to understand that's what's happening with your fan base when you hear the frustration. Mm. The relationship is souring because we haven't had that feeling in so long.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, man. You want it to feel like the first time.
Look, I'm all for that. I just don't know why you had to use that voice as you were describing that. I'm not sure why.
I just can't believe Day-Day completely disregarded our Atlanta dream. But anyway, yes, as far as right now, the Falcons, it's been 8 years, man. That's forever in any sports league. You know, the Braves, we knew last year it was going to be a tough one. And like they had to grind just to make the wild card a year ago. I'm down. We'll talk about it later in the show. I want to get Carl's take on it. I'm still ticked off. We're watching now the second tier of starting pitching is getting signed.
It is.
And the Braves aren't doing anything.
Yeah.
And I know that we don't deal with Boris and this and that, but I just wish you're banking on guys staying healthy, coming back, and young guys going farther than they've ever gone. That's not a plan. Hope is not a plan for your starting rotation, Carl, in my mind.
Yeah. Spring training, by the way, starts Monday. Pitchers and catchers reporting, and we're going to get back to it here. Not sure how you're going to watch, but we're going to get back to it. And the bottom line is, I'm with you, Day-Day. This team feels like, if, again, healthy, I know we got the Kim situation we're dealing with. It feels like they can make another run and get back in the playoffs. That doesn't mean they win this division because right. they're still, you know, everybody's talking about the Mets and the Phillies and all that.
Right.
But Mike, we'll get into it because that's it. It's a very interesting conversation as we get ready to start spring training. Day-Day, any other sexual references you want to lay out today?
No, but I may be changing my mind about Lindsey Vonn. She's got some really big, like, shoulders.
I'm so glad you said that because I thought you were about to say something else.
I thought you were going
right
somewhere
here.
Else with that.
That's really what's on my mind.
All right. By the way, and now we've learned that all you orthopedists, you guys are full of crap. No one needs an ACL.
Crazy.
All right.
I mean, you saw the videos of her right? workout today?
She's working out like a fiend.
Yeah.
I mean, she's going to medal? She going to medal?
That's hard, okay. man.
Those thighs, Carl, she'd crush your head like a walnut.
I'm going to not even comment on that. We are going to come back, though. We're going to lay out all the trades of significance, including what the Hawks did. We'll talk some college football along the way. And what would you prefer?
Mm.
We'll get to this. It's a lot of fun. Stay there. 4 o'clock hour straight ahead.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.